Nathan Segura, the Notorious V.I.C., on a Victory Tuesday here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. Joining us now on the hotline from CBS Sports, man who called the game on Sunday that the Cleveland Browns won over the Minnesota Vikings, Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, thanks for joining us here again.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Solomon, you got to see this Browns team in a new light, a victory against the Minnesota Vikings. What some changes? Obviously, Brian Hoyer, a quarterback. You get Josh Gordon back. What was it that you saw from this Browns team that was different than what you saw in the first 2 weeks?
Well, there is no doubt that the presence of Josh Gordon on the field helps the offense, and it forces the defense to have to defend every blade of grass. He stretches the field. It opens up things for Jordan Cameron. It opens up things for Devon Bess. And there's no doubt about it. I think Brian Hoyer getting the ball out quickly was something that really helped him to avoid the sacks. You can see the sack total well way down. I think people have to understand, though, because you look at the interceptions and say, wow, he threw some picks. Whenever you're a quarterback who the ball comes out quickly and you're a timing and rhythm passer, the defense can jump your passes much more readily than a guy like a Ben Roethlisberger who extends plays. So I think that's an area where Brian Hoyer is going to grow, but I think you've got to start with that because clearly he was much more effective than what you had in the first two games.
Solomon, what were your thoughts about the coaching and the aggressiveness and the creativity that Rob Chudzinski and his staff showed in that game?
Vic, that's a really good question. I said in the broadcast, whenever you have teams that are evenly matched, it really does come down to coaching. I think that's what sets teams apart at the National Football League level. Rob Chudzinski and the coaching staff in Cleveland clearly outcoached the Minnesota Vikings. It's the reason why you were able to win the game. The ability to design a fake punt, to get a big play there on a drive and have a real big play to extend the drive, and then the fake field goal, the touchdown over to Jordan Cameron. He had three touchdowns in the game. The way they used Jordan Cameron in this game and the way they used Bess after you saw Josh Gordon stretch the field, they got him going early, and it just opened everything up for the offense there. You saw this offense operate at a much higher level than you had seen in those previous two games, and I can't say enough about what Ray Horton did on defense. So offense, defense, and special teams all came together to really get a very impressive win for Cleveland.
They certainly did. And Solomon, you know, one of the things that we like to get a national perspective on are some of the moves that the Browns have made. And we know we talked to you last week. Trent Richardson, the trade there, obviously. The Browns won, so not a huge impact on the field. But now you talked about the difference Josh Gordon makes, and rumors are swirling around Josh Gordon potentially being traded. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Josh Gordon is a player to keep. I think he's a home run hitter. I think if you take any of the wide receivers that were drafted, he's one of the best wide receivers. If he had come out this year, he was the number one wide receiver. I think he's an asset that you got to keep if you're going to continue to build this offense. He's the big, prototype receiver who can flat out run.
Solomon Wilcott joins us from CBS. So sticking with that point and that question,
I like it.
Addressing this as a former player, especially Solomon, and knowing about accountability and knowing about the risks that are involved with a player, for instance, like Josh Gordon, who's already been suspended, and another transgression like he had is going to put him out of the game for at least a year. You could be looking, you know, at an indefinite period of this guy not being on your team. So how do you manage that, or how can that be managed when you think about it again from the perspective of player and what the Browns would have to do and whatever it might be to keep him from hurting himself, if you will?
Well, for one, and talking to Josh Gordon, when I met with him on Saturday, he seems to be very contrite. He talks about the fact that, yeah, this is his last chance. He knows it. He said he doesn't expect another team to ever give him a chance if he should violate the league's policies yet again when it comes to substance abuse or conduct. I think he clearly gets it. But we also know that the Browns are protected by the collective bargaining agreement that any money's invested in him, if he should violate it and would not be available, that some of that money is redeemable. I think you can write a contract that's team friendly, but yet you still get a very productive player. I also believe that in the world that we live in, that you could just throw this guy on the trash heap and move on and do whatever you want to do, or you can have and start to build a kind of program with the Cleveland Browns that say, we want to help a young man. We want to help this kid. If we do right by him, we're going to trust that he does right by us. Because I think that sends a message in the locker room as well. I think this would be a good place to start if the Cleveland Browns are ever going to have that mindset.
Solomon, I just want to give you a high five right now. I love everything that you just said. I think I couldn't agree more with any of it if I wanted to, and that's what I've been saying all week here. So I think certainly that is great to hear, and I think that puts the Josh Gordon situation to bed as far as I'm concerned for this discussion. So let me turn my attention to the defensive side of the ball, because one thing that this front office wanted to do was get a defensive front that could pressure the quarterback. Mingo, you've seen him now, 2 sacks in 2 games that he's played. Sheard's playing well. Desmond Bryant, a beast. Kruger, Phil Taylor, Ataba Rubin, this whole defensive front playing unbelievably well. And where do you see this defensive front rank in the National Football League right now?
You know, when I came to visit that team during OTAs and minicamp, and Vic will tell you, I just left there telling everybody I thought the Cleveland Browns defense was ready to go. Now, I still have my concerns about the back end of the defense, but no one's going to tell me they have a better front seven than the Cleveland Browns. The problem is, if you start to lose players to injury, where is the depth? I think that's where you're going to be challenged with the front seven. But that front seven, just the starting unit, the job they did against Adrian Peterson, simply phenomenal. The job they did against a mobile quarterback like Christian Ponder, phenomenal. They're a top five run defense. And if ever you can do that, then you can start to go after the quarterback. Clearly with Barkevious Mingo, he's a special player. And he's always got a smile on his face. He's having fun playing the game. He's very dynamic. With Phil Taylor in the middle, Ataba Rubin, and Dez Bryant, the way he finished off the game with a sack, he put the exclamation point on that win. That's what you're building defensively. I know Ray Horton is ecstatic. He thinks they can get better once they really lock in on this defense. And if Buster Screen and Chris Owen play as well as what they're getting from Joe Hayden, now you got yourself a top 10 defense.
And, Solly, when you look at that back end, and, again, that's something from your playing perspective that you can identify with, and you know Ray Horton very well. You guys were teammates. You're close with him. How do you handle not having the talent there, or at least anything that's approaching what you have on the other side in Joe Hayden? And you also have the concern at safety as well, free safety as well. Tayshawn Gibson is there trying to hold his own. It just seems like, you know, they're still trying to stay above water. Buster Screen made a couple of really nice plays in that game, and I know a lot of people pointed to those, but the vulnerability we know remains, and you know who's coming to town Sunday, A.J. Green and company in that Cincinnati passing game.
Yeah, and you know what, Buster Screen, I was proud of him because he kept fighting. In this league, you better have thick skin if you're going to play quarterback in this league. This kid clearly showed that he's not ready to wave the white flag or surrender, and I admire that. He's going to get a lot of that coming his way of playing opposite of Joe Hayden, because Joe Hayden is playing lights out at the cornerback position. But the way you use it is that you've got a lockdown guy on the other side. You've got a front seven who can bring pressure, and you rotate coverage. You play a lot of two-man, what we say, man under, two safeties over the top to help protect the other corners. You rotate coverage over the top of the lesser guys, knowing that Joe Hayden is okay over there in one-on-one. And then we always say pressure leads to picks. The front seven can make any corner look like he's a world-class athlete. When you bring in heat up front, and that's what they got to do, they got to bring pressure, and it'll go a long way to help guys like Chris Owens and Buster Screen improve. I expect those guys to get better playing for Ray Horton.
I certainly think they will also, and it's key for this team. As you look at this matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals, the Browns at home coming off of a win in what is now a pretty tightly contested division that got off to a little bit of a slow start, but now the Bengals 2-1, Ravens 2-1 also. What do you see as the path to victory, if there is one in your mind, for the Browns in this game against what is a pretty solid Cincinnati team that seems to be getting better each week?
Better score a lot of points, okay? And you've got to produce turnovers, because the Bengals are a juggernaut of a football team right now. And they've got the confidence that comes with having beaten the Pittsburgh at Heinz Field last year at the end of the season, knocked them out of the playoffs. They duplicated the process in the Monday night game on national TV, and then defeat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and do what they did to him, turning him over at critical moments in the game. They've got a rotation of 8 defensive linemen. It's like hockey. They come in shifts. They tell the first 4 come as hard as you can, then they bring in another fresh 4. And they're long and they're tall at the defensive end position. Their linebackers are good and their secondary is good. And people are talking about finding another wide receiver opposite of A.J. Green. They got 2. You know, Marvin Jones is a very good player. Mohamed Sanu is a big, rangy receiver who's capable of making plays. And now you throw in Tyler Eifert and Gio Bernard. They will stretch the defense. It's going to be about putting pressure on Andy Dalton. That's what Ray Horton's thinking. Force him to make some mistakes. And if he throws you one, you better catch it, because he ain't going to throw you a lot of them. You got to score points against that defense to put stress and strain on the Bengals' offense. This got to be that kind of game.
Where are you on Andy Dalton, just in terms of where his game is and how he would respond to what could very well be as strong a pass rush as he's going to see to date?
You know what? Andy Dalton is a game manager, and that's not a bad thing. It's what you see in Alex Smith when he was in San Francisco with the 49ers and what you see him doing now with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's Andy Dalton. And I know a lot of people want the big, tall, pretty guy. Some guys just know how to win. I think Carson Palmer was that for the Bengals. He was the big, strong arm guy that's going to throw for 300, 400 yards. But when the game was on the line at the end, he may not have managed it as well. He still threw a pick. Andy doesn't look flashy, but at the end, he can manage games and he can win. The guy won over 45 games as a starter, as a 4-year guy at TCU. All he's done since he joined the Bengals is take them to the playoffs in 2 consecutive years since he's been a starter, from his rookie year to now. All he does is win football games. So it may not be pretty, but the result is phenomenal.
Solomon, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate that, and appreciated the call on Sunday of the Browns' victory over the Minnesota Vikings.
Wish you guys the best. Take care.
All right, thanks, man. Great Solomon Wilcutt's with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Still to come, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet us at Browns_daily. Hour number 2, Gerard Cherry. We'll also go inside the locker room with Ataba Rubin, interviewed by our own Jameer Howerton. So we got a lot to get to. It's already flying by here. CBD, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.